Hey, hey, Bachelor Masters here. If you remember back 2 weeks ago when we started this new season of The Bachelorette and The Bachelor Masters, which you're listening to right now, you might remember that co-host EZR had a new baby, and so we couldn't guarantee if EZR would be on air or off air at any given moment. She could be recording with us and then boom, be gone 5 seconds later. So EZR, if you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just tired.
I thought you had to drop out for a bit.
Oh, yes and no. I'm okay. I'm trying to balance. I'm trying to have it all.
Yeah.
Very tired.
I hear you.
Yeah, women really can have it all.
Yes. You too can have kids and be a podcaster.
Oh my gosh. Don't. Yes.
Well, this is good to talk about because this was a episode about empowering women as The Bachelorette, as we all saw last night.
Was it about that?
Kinda. I mean, I can see that.
They kept saying that. They kept trying to make it about that.
I remember
Gabby was like, this is about empowering us and we're giving all the power away. Those were her exact words, weren't they?
Okay. Yeah, I do remember.
There's very few times when I feel the Bachelor, the show hits on something. And my favorite.
When the Bachelor hits on something, yes.
Well, because they rarely get things right, in my opinion, yeah. In any way, socially, you know, in any way, honestly. But when she said, I'm not here to teach dudes how to act, I was like, yes, thank you. Something is true on this show. Nothing else feels true to me except that, because that was so true. How do you go up to someone and say that? I don't even care if it's a woman-man dynamic.
To say
those things.
Somebody is rough around the edges is so weird. Yikes. So weird.
That is so. I mean, what did you guys take that to? Let's just jump. Let's just go there. What did you guys take that to mean? Because I took it to mean that she says bad words or that she's not feminine enough for him.
Mm. I went into a real dark place. I took it to mean that she's not white.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't actually know what her race is.
I don't know what her race is either.
But that's what I took. What's his name? Not Ethan.
Hayden.
I took it to mean, if you call someone rough around the edges and their morals don't line up with yours, you're saying, oh, you don't come from my WASPy background.
That's true. That second part is true, but that doesn't mean that she's not white.
It's also possible that she's white and he doesn't know that she's white.
Well, okay. Let me rephrase it. Like, she may be not white presenting to him, and he thinks that she's not WASPy enough for him.
Yeah,
I took him to say that to me.
That could also be like a class issue he's trying to bring up.
Yes, yeah. I think what I took it to mean. Also, he said pretty closely after that, he's like, you look great tonight, though, which is also a weird follow-up, right?
It's a total weird follow-up.
I don't want to date you because you're rough around the edges, but you are hot. And it's like, huh? What?
Well, do you guys want to hear at least this one? We can hear the other two later. Yeah. Because I feel like we have to hear it before we keep talking about it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
I just felt like a really good connection with Rachel. Like, amazing one. And, you know, I really do want to pursue that.
Yes.
And I want to be straight up with you. And I want to tell
really
you that.
I really appreciate it.
Because I respect you so much.
Yeah.
And you're on your journey. And
yeah, for sure. You should tell Rachel.
I think you have the bubbly aspect to you, the goofy aspect, and you're a little bit more, like, I'm going to say rough around the edges, but y'all want people to be very direct with y'all. And so, obviously, I wanted to make sure that I express that to you.
Yeah, totally.
So that was Tyler first, and then it was Hayden, and then there's Jordan, which I could play too.
Wait, don't you mean Jacob?
Yes, Jacob.
Did
Fabio?
Yes.
Yeah, blonde hair guy is Jacob.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, because he said, what did he say? He said,
do you want to hear what he said?
Yeah, let's hear what he said.
don't know if maybe we've had the connection that I think I wanted to have with you from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, even if, like, say if you were the only person here, I don't think I could have the heart to continue, because at the end of the day, we're trying to find somebody for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But obviously, like, you're smoking.
Yeah.
Well, shoot.
If you were the last person on earth.
Yeah, that one was the most offensive. I think the first guy was fine to me because he basically didn't say anything weird. He was just like, I just feel like I have a connection with Rachel that's stronger. And it's like, cool.
Right. Tyler's okay.
Yeah, Tyler, fine. Then Hayden did the rough around the edges thing. But Jacob being like, I couldn't stay here if you're the only one. Because, you know, I'm like trying to find a wife, but whatever. And it's like,
but you're smoking hot. But you're smoking Isn't that why you date somebody? Is because they're smoking hot?
He's basically saying she's not wife material to him, right? Like, that's what he said.
That's true. I see, because I wasn't her, I didn't read into it as much, although I thought it was not as bad as saying you're rough around the edges. And not because that's a bad thing to say. I could say that to a friend and it wouldn't sound, it wouldn't have as many connotations as we're pulling out of it, because that did feel sexist and classist. Well,
it felt very judgmental. I also feel like there might have been a religion aspect in there.
Yeah.
Just
for some reason, it wasn't in that clip you just played, EZR, but he said, our morals don't line, or my morals line up with Rachel.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has the same morals
as Rachel, but he doesn't.
Which means we go to the same evangelical denomination or something.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm like, if you're talking about morals in terms of like sex before marriage, you know that both Gabby and Rachel both boned Clayton, so she does that too, you know. So like, it's not that part, but I think it is a Gabby hasn't spoken about religion on this show, which usually means she's not super religious, and Rachel's honestly barely spoken about it, but enough I guess for him to know that she is a Christian of some sort of evangelical stripe, although not serious enough to do the no sex ultimatum like some of the other Christians on the show are. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot of judgment in the rough around the edges thing in terms of it making it sound like what I thought when he first said it, and my immediate reaction was like, that's rude. And I was thinking the connotation was like, she's sloppy, she's slutty, she's like, you know what I mean? Like, think along those lines. And it was like, oh, she's not a good fit for me because she's just like, whoo, look at that mess, you know?
Yeah, without thinking too hard about it, my first reaction was that she wasn't like floaty Rachel who whispers.
Right.
You know, she's Gabby who stomps kind of feel. And
thing
Gabby
is, though, that
keeps alluding to herself that way anyway. Oh, sorry. No, because Gabby keeps talking about herself the entire time, how she's not the perfect bachelorette, even though, I mean, she's one of the most feminine women I've ever seen. But in Bachelor World, she's not.
In Bachelor World, she doesn't fit the mold exactly, not because it's like she's incredibly beautiful. And she has like, you know, she wears the evening gowns well and all that kind of stuff. She doesn't fit the mold because she's so like goofy and a little oddball.
But the evidence doesn't support that to me. So
talking about within the Bachelor world. That's why. But go ahead.
Well, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. It's just an offhand remark. But like everything we've said in the last 10 minutes, I think is totally spot on. But so in addition to that, I don't think the evidence supports Gabby being rough around the edges. How is she rough around the edges? She wears her evening gowns well, as you said. She speaks eloquently. She's usually the one that does the talking during the, you know, rose ceremonies and all that kind of stuff like that.
Too much. She laughs, you know, not to flirt, but because she's genuinely laughing. Like things like that. I mean, there are like old, really old 50s thinking of what feminine is. She's not life.
I guess so.
I mean, it's just like a hair past extremely quiet and feminine. Isn't that the thinking? I mean, I'm not even like I'm not up in arms about it in that way.
Right.
I just
exactly
think that's the thinking. that he
that makes sense.
Yeah, but, and I think that's the thing that she's sensitive about and comes back to later as feeling like maybe this is why she doesn't deserve to be the lead of the show, right? Because she stands out in this way that's different.
The entire episode felt like a foreshadow, like it had a lot of foreshadowing, and a lot of the overarching theme of the episode was whether Gabby whether her insecurities are, you know, based in her childhood, carry over into other insecurities with men and how they do that. But then this particular part kind of steps out of that and says, it's weird because this whole episode felt like it had these overarching themes and narratives that The Bachelor does not do on purpose, because, you know, it takes skill and talent to create themes and narratives. the whole episode reminds us that in Bachelor world, men are always in charge, right? They're men, and it's not even exactly by the men's doing, but because Gabby went over to them and tried to get them to pursue her,
right?
And you know, maybe women can take the reins, but the men are still choosing first because that's what the women who will go on the Bachelor shows want.
We're drifting into different territory.
We are drifting. But I just want to say that, well, the reason I were drifting is because I feel that these two things came up over and over again. And I thought it was an interesting, actually like reading a book and you see the same themes come over and again, and that's for a purpose. And I was amazed that they were able to carry these two themes and bring them up throughout the date.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I would put specifically the scene where she goes and surprises the guys at the Bachelor Mansion into that pot, because it was awkward for everyone because there was no producer direction on what the guys should be doing. The same thing happened with Michelle, remember?
And I feel like there's two things that could be happening here. I'm just going to jump to the Gabby visit real quick if you want, or we can stay there.
Well, we have other things to talk about.
Well, it's okay. Yes, it seems super awkward, and to me it was a foreshadowing of the insecurities that are going to come up regarding to her mom, that the guys aren't trying hard enough, and then that brings her back to like an insecure place. But is she overly sensitive? Are the guys becoming friendly with each other too fast? That reminds me also of Hannah Brown's season, whereas they're not as interested in Hannah Brown or in Michelle on her season. Or sometimes is it because the guys on The Bachelorette, more so than the women on The Bachelor, are concentrated on their brand and being famous?
Mm-hmm.
It could go into all sorts of areas, but I really was... There was no clear-cut answer in that clip, where sometimes there is, or in that section of the show where she went over there. I didn't feel like they were ignoring her exactly. I felt like she was giving too much.
Well, she asked them, she's like, well, what do you do why I'm not here? And they go, well, we throw the football around. So they did exactly what she asked them of what to do.
Yeah, but she wants them to push each other down to talk to her. Or does she?
It's hard to say, because I think this is something that's happened to multiple bachelorettes in the bachelorette seasons that I've seen, right? Where there's some point in time where they're on a date with a man, or they go to the men's house or whatever, and the men are not stomping all over each other to talk to her and pull her. Like, it happened to Claire Crawley. It happened to Michelle.
But did it happen to Claire?
Saw it that way.
Yes, she did see it that way.
It happens occasionally, and I could see it being extra magnified in Gabby's eyes because it's a two bachelorette season, right? So even in the other times when they've been like, wow, why aren't these men trying to pay attention to me when supposedly they're all here to date me? She is the extra added bit of like, or maybe they don't want to date me because they're here for Rachel instead, you know? So I feel like that adds more insecurity into the mix. Whereas before, even if you're like, I don't know if I deserve it, or like, what if they're not actually into me sort of angle, you do add this other weird one of being like, maybe they're here for the other bachelorette and maybe none of the men will want to actually date me. Maybe they're all really here for her instead. And I mean, hopefully seeing men accept her rose at the end makes her feel like, you know, not as rejected, I guess. But this episode was interesting because they have both Gabby and Rachel getting rejected by the men at different points, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Both of them feeling obviously upset about it, and like for good reason. Even if you weren't super into that man, it is like embarrassing to put yourself out there and have them be like, I actually am not into you, you know. It's just like uncomfortable and embarrassing for it to occur. But I feel like this also goes into her one-on-one date with Eric, right? Where she has that moment that she walks out because she's thinking about her mom, her relationship with her mom. And I feel like it is part of that overarching theme that you're mentioning, Yuzia, right? This theme of, well, part of Gabby's story is that she doesn't feel like maybe she's worthy of being loved, right? Because of this maternal rejection.
Yeah. And that's a whole, see, and with, for all these seasons, I have my version of what actually happened. Like, for Hannah Brown's season, I do think they weren't as interested in her, and they were interested in themselves as friends, the contestants mm-hmm. or the men were. And they knew that being on The Bachelorette is stardom, more so than being interested in her. With Michelle's season, kind of the same thing, but I do think they were not interested in her. In this case, yeah, like I'm always going to say that the men to know that this is a catapult into not having to go to a 9-to-5 anymore. Even from home, they are not interested. They want to be just Instagram. So I think that's just you're not going to find, I think it's really hard to find 30 men or 30 plus men who want to genuinely date someone and marry them, especially mm-hmm. guys who think they're great. I think that's a really, really hard ask. Right. And so The Bachelorette is naturally going to have worse people on it, contestant wise, than The Bachelor. Because women, I mean, you could spin it the other way. Women can be kind of delusional and go on a reality TV show and think they're going to walk away with a husband. That's not a great idea either, you know, but that's the.
Well, it's like when we sat next to Mike Fleiss, you know, executive producer of All Things Bachelor.
Yeah.
When they were taping The Proposal, where you literally go up on stage for 15 minutes and walk away with a the fiance.
Yeah.
And we overheard him telling one young lady that, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't actually have to get married.
Yeah. Don't even worry about it. Just say yes. Yeah. And you'll be on TV. It'll be fun. You'll get free. Yeah. Yeah, that was classic. Mm-hmm. But right. I am, you know, there are times when I feel some men really like at the very least, you'd think they'd be smart enough to court her and want to have sex with her. That's why it's so confusing sometimes. Some of these men are on the ball, and that makes me even more suspicious. Like, you can't win if you're these men, not with me anyway.
Right. Damn it. If they don't want to have sex with me, you're out.
Yeah, at the very least, want that with one of the bachelorettes.
Yeah.
Okay, so now back to all your
let's reset a little bit
there, Craig.
Yeah, well, we got to banter a little bit because Caitlin, co-host Caitlin, you're back, obviously. You were gone last week. We missed you. You were in Hawaii.
That's correct.
It is correct that you were in Hawaii.
Yes, that's an accurate statement. I was there.
Did you have a good time?
I had an amazing time. I wish I was back right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh boy. Well, this was also, I mean, I think this was in the text that I sent you all, but there was a gigantic storm in my area the night before I was due to leave. My power ended up being out for 2 days, and I left in the middle of that.
Wow.
And like, street was blocked by trees being downed.
This is in Maryland.
This is in Maryland. But the airport was completely unaffected. Apparently my town was like just one of the worst hit in the region. And so I was like, I'm leaving. I'm leaving this powerless, overheated, destitute place to go to Hawaii and have an amazing time at my friend's house. So it felt like extra relieving to go.
That's great.
And yeah, I just felt like so much less stressed, even though I still had to do some remote work and stuff. It was like, yeah, but I'm sitting in like a really beautiful place and like on this super nice porch, friends and amazing dogs. So it doesn't matter that I'm also like doing work at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
That's what people think. And then they go live in paradise. And then, you know, Bali does turn into like, oh, yeah. The ocean. I'm just saying that as someone.
Yeah,
I'm not a big paradise person, as you guys know.
Yeah, I could see it being a thing. Weirdly, one of the biggest benefits for me is like, well, as you know, and I feel like I've probably mentioned on the podcast before, like I have insomnia, so my sleep schedule is always sort of messed up.
Right.
My Hawaii sleep schedule is like perfect. My body doesn't adjust to the time zone
change. Right.
And I thought it would after a certain, I was there for like a week and a half. So I thought, you know, well, someday it's going to come where I just suddenly get used to this time zone. It was like, no, in fact, your body loves going to sleep at 10 p.m. here and waking up before 7 a.m. And I was like, wow, okay.
I have totally thought that before. That I'm like, I just need to move time zones over to really get to really become, because at 10 a.m. here, and I think it's Hawaii time too, because at 10 a.m. here, sometimes I'm exhausted. And I'm like, if I, it's 7 a.m. somewhere, wherever that is, that's, and I think it's Hawaii.
I think it actually is. So yeah, I was like, this time zone is absolutely perfect for me. Like I would wake up, I would walk my friend's dogs and give them breakfast. Then I would look at my work emails and like answer anything pressing, do a little work before everyone else wakes up.
Oh, sit
in the hammock while I did the work. Like it was great. You know, like I was like, this is the life. When can I just move into my friend's house?
Hey, it could happen. You never know.
You never know, which yeah, they are also very big reality TV people. So they do watch The Bachelor shows. And also a bunch of other reality TV shows that I had never watched, they've started to get me into when I visit, because we'll usually watch TV together in the evenings before bed. So like we were watching Married at First Sight the first day I was there, and I'd never seen that one before.
Married at First Sight. Is that on Discovery? What's that on?
I can't remember. I'm going to have to look up the network. Oh, but okay. Yeah, it's a similar. Yeah, I guess they get married. They're set up by like matchmakers.
Yeah, but wasn't there controversial this season because the guy like rejected the girl based on looks?
Like, men are always in charge.
They're always doing that.
You get to talk to him because you talk to him with a wall between them, right?
Love is Blind.
Oh, that one, Craig. Did we talk about that? It was a Hindi.
Yes. Yeah. And that one was such a, so uncomfortable to watch. And they got me into that show too. The last time I was over there, they were watching Love is Blind. But yeah, no, Married at First Sight is like, you get interviewed by a panel of people and then they match you up. And the first time you meet them is at your wedding, but then you'll get a divorce paid for by the show if you want it within like, I can't remember how long, it's a couple of months basically. But you aren't legally married, I guess. And you can like move in with a person and it's like you're sort of
the show.
Yeah. And they're like, you have a day that you decide by like, are we gonna stay married or are we gonna get a divorce?
Right. Decision day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, glad to have you back. Switching gears a little bit, easier, we have some listener feedback. Do we have any listener feedback music?
Here you go, Craig.
That's good. Is that the Becker theme?
Yes.
Okay. Well, friend of the pod, Rob, texted in. He said that he really liked your discussion last week of the woke mind virus.
I said that? I did not say that.
You did say that.
I didn't say mind virus.
You said woke mind virus.
There's no way.
There's quotes around it.
Okay.
But basically how... so many people in America get their wokeness from shows like The Bachelor, and now that's a problem. That was a really good take you did.
Huge and, problem. That is definitely the boy. Yes, that is what I said. Definitely that part, that second thing you said.
And friend of the pod, Jay in LA, he texted in and said, easier calling out Bachelor Nation for wrongly learning about wokeness via The Bachelor was genius and probably the truest statement ever.
It's high praise.
This is very high praise. Yeah.
That's nice. Well, it's true. You know, you can't, my brain immediately goes to how privatized companies have taken over public need, right? We've always substituted. That's how it feels.
Right.
Well,
we're not to SoFi Stadium yet in this episode.
Oh, well, no, that's actually, that's an interesting conversation because of that. We need our public institutions have not failed us. We've defunded them.
Right.
And they've de facto failed us. But
if they've been set up to fail, like public libraries.
Yeah. Right. And if we had funded so many things properly, but the thing is, sometimes if you pay attention to what we have defunded, it still actually works and actually works well, but people have chosen to turn away from them. So then we end up with these filler areas that we need that information from.
And you get The Bachelor.
And here we are. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, on that really positive note, let's take a commercial break and play an ad from one of the other awesome podcasts on the Bridge Burner Podcast Collective.
And when we're back, we'll talk about the Zach and Rachel date.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Do you prefer your podcast to have solo narrators to two people telling private jokes?
Are you looking for a podcast that is about true crimes and unsolved mysteries and not, I repeat, not, two friends hanging out and rambling about nonsense?
Do you like podcasts that stay on topic 100% of the time?
If you answered yes to these questions and reenacted an Unsolved Mysteries podcast, it's not for you or the folks that left us those one-star reviews. We are just two pals who love the 1990s show Unsolved Mysteries and have no interest in actually solving mysteries from the episodes we watch and recap.
Come get spooked with me, Robert, and my friend and relatively normal woman, Crystal, every 2 weeks as we talk stack, ghosts, UFOs, food, and occasionally crime on Reenacted and Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
And we're back. I love it. Okay, Zach and Rachel. Zach and Rachel. What about Zach and Rachel?
Well,
they had a date.
Yeah, here is, and Craig, they said the guy who I didn't know who that was, but she explained it. Said that Rachel deserves love.
Oh, huh? I know.
Karamo from Queer Eye and also Karamo from The Real World way back in the day. So he was on one of my...
Real World?
Yeah, he was on The Real World. Real World
Which
Philadelphia,
one?
I believe.
From the 90s?
From the 90s.
Wow.
And he was on MTV's The Challenge, which you know I love.
Yes, I do.
But way back in the very early days, like I think he was only on it once.
Huh. Still, that's a reality show veteran.
That's
an elder.
Been through the wars and been on an even more popular show when he's older than when he's younger.
They should have touted his credentials. He knows all
the
lines.
Yeah, they should have. They buried the lead on that one.
Oh, my goodness. Especially, well, he said Rachel deserves love.
I know, which you know I love. I love it when they say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and even Gabby in a confessional, whatever you call those things, when they're talking to the camera, even she says, well, I deserve love. It's just, what did she say? It's, I deserve love. I just don't know what kind of love I deserve or something like that.
Yeah, no, she said, right. She did say something complicated. She's like, I deserve it, but I don't know if, like, I deserve it yet or something weird that was kind of a caveat.
It was something like, I deserve love, but do I deserve it from the person I want love from? And I was like,
oh, right.
That's right.
That is what it was.
Very good, Caitlin.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you've gotten a layer that I've never really heard before, which is like, I do deserve it, but from this person?
Right. It kind of seemed like, isn't that true of anyone? Like, you can't make someone love you? Like, is that where she's going with it? Anyways, what was the point of that? I think she was just kind of blah, you know, verbally talking.
Well, if you're new to the podcast, I famously do not think the general person deserves love. If you say, I deserve love, then I'm going to ask you, well, what do you do to deserve love? And oftentimes people don't have a response to that.
Another thing, Craig, yes. you famously talk about is when they talk about what a great date it's been. And I cut it out just for you.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. This is just so crazy. I feel like I have spent weeks with you already.
Yeah.
This has been so incredible.
This has been absolutely one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked that clip out because I clocked that for sure. I was like, what kind of dates are you going on that this is the best date by far you've ever been on? I mean, what did they do? They didn't even have dinner. They had
popcorn, I think, at the
tried on clothes. Then they went to a clothes. Fake premiere.
They went to a fake premiere and they watched baby pictures of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that the greatest date you've ever been on? Now, I understand you're on camera and you really have to make it look good. And the producers are probably prodding you to say something nice. And you do. You don't want to come across as an a-hole on national television. But there's other ways to phrase it, don't you think? Maybe there isn't. Maybe the only way to phrase it is I've had the best date I've ever had in my life.
What we're supposed to come away thinking is that they really like each other and they have some kind of spiritual connection.
Yes, and which I wanted to point out in that vein, the plane thing, because I thought this was super interesting, right? That he says his dad wanted to be a pilot so badly, and I really want to know, why didn't his dad become a pilot if this was his dream?
Right. Yeah.
But his dad wanted to become a pilot so badly that he used to make Zach go watch planes with him, and then Rachel did that with her dad, and he's like, wow, I've never met anyone who's done that before. And I was watching at home, and I was like, I've literally done that.
Yeah. I've been to the, you know what I'm talking about, EZR. I've been to
Wayne's World.
In-N-Out Burger. That's next to LAX where you get your in and out and then you sit and you watch the planes come in.
Yeah, I was like, I've done it as a child even, like with my uncle when he was babysitting me and my sister. But I didn't grow up wanting to be a pilot. So I was like, I think it's an actually fairly common experience to have, but they both seem to think it was like a kismet kind of moment, you know?
It had this weird, he's always wanted to be a banker, and then he goes to become another bank. I knew Craig would love that.
Great Seinfeld. That is deep Seinfeld knowledge there.
It had such being a pilot is not some deeper calling, is it? I mean, are we missing something? Because I feel like I've seen two seasons with a pilot lead, not including Rachel. And I've never really gotten like a deep, you know, do you have that feeling about it being a taxi driver too? Like, is it about courting people around? Is it about the sky?
We could go deep into that, but
I think there's a lot of psychological stuff there, but I do think there is something about flight equaling freedom sort of thing, right? That like, and you're in charge of the thing that flies in the air. Like, so you have all this power and control and you're so good at what you do, right? Like I can get that as an aspirational thing for sure. Like, I'm kind of like, sometimes I've thought learning how to fly a small plane would be kind of fun, you know?
I get sheer terror, and I'm not scared of heights. I'm not scared of planes. I just think it's a lot of responsibility in a bad way. Now, Craig, you had, when Pilot Pete was the pilot, you had a great takedown of...
I did?
Yes, because we were talking about the... Existential is not the word. Kind of the awe of seeing the Earth if you're an astronaut and how that goes right over Pilot Pete's head. And that's why.
Oh, I remember this.
I remember this too, but I can't remember what my take was.
Oh, let's just, we could just go back and listen to it. But the point is that I thought that was the correct reason to being a pilot and all this kind of awe-inspiring stuff. Whereas everything they're saying makes no sense to me. Like, oh, you're just looking at the build of the plane? Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you are really obsessed with looking at planes, you could also become... like a plane engineer
or a train conductor.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of other ways you could work in a field related to that, that aren't being a pilot. If you're like, I'm so into the technology of it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. 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 Or you could just go eat at Wings or whatever the restaurant's called.
Oh, I love Wings, the show. Wait, Oh, the not the restaurant in the what?
There's a restaurant by LAX that's called something like Wings.
Oh.
Every airport in the world has a restaurant next to it named Wings.
Oh, okay.
That's why the show is named Wings.
Yeah, that show's great.
Yeah. You know what I want to visit?
not really, but I love
in JFK, they turned the old like TWA terminal into a hotel. Have you seen anything about that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to go. It looks really cool, but I'm sure it costs $20,000. It's like, it's too nice looking in the pictures. I know it's going to be too expensive for me.
Yeah, that's the JetBlue did that, I think, because they have a really nice terminal there, if I recall, from my traveling days.
Yes, but the thing that reminded me of that with the TWA like hotel terminal is they have like a pool area that overlooks the runways for.
That's cool.
So you can be in the pool and watching planes take off.
Yeah, cool. Okay, back to Zach and Rachel date. Anything else on that?
I'm ready to move on to Gabby and Eric's date.
Okay, we got to call him Erich.
Yeah.
German. Okay. Oh, because he has the H.
No, I'm still going to call him Eric. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you could try to emphasize the German, like Eric.
I like Erich. I'm going to stick with that.
All right, whatever. I mean, he's not going to last long, so go ahead. Says me.
Did you notice his mouth was really crooked?
You know, him and Logan, I'm really confused about the appeal here.
Those guys kind of look alike to me, actually. If it wasn't for the different hair, because they have very different hair going on, I might confuse them for each other. Facially, they've got a similar vibe going on. You know, speaking of appeal, I mean, I hate to say this, but I feel like it's really slim pickings for these women now. Like, there's not a lot of guys left who I'm like, oh, that guy seems exciting and handsome, you know?
Yeah, no John Stamos.
No, they cut out the magician, and I am not interested in any. I feel sad. You know, it's like when your crush leaves a party at 10 p.m., and then you're like, now I'm stuck with all my friends or whatever. That's how it feels. I have a very, I had that feeling too, and Craig was very upset about the lack of good-looking men.
Yes.
God, Craig really hates when there's not enough good-looking men.
I do. Yeah, it drives me crazy. So here we are stuck looking at Erich.
So the interesting part about, I mean, first off, they went to a sound bath, which was, I would not take a sound bath.
With her grandfather also.
Right, that sounds fun.
Interesting
they didn't really
part.
They didn't show the sound bath. They just kind of cut. Is that right? Did I miss something?
Yeah, they cut to her grandpa like being asleep on a mat in the sound bathroom.
Because that's what happens. But they didn't show it, which was weird.
No.
A sound bath doesn't make good television, apparently.
I guess I could see how it wouldn't. Oh, Easier, did you catch Gabby saying that she loves sound baths? They're one of her favorite things.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, oh, good, they're going to do it. But then when I saw the lady, look, if I walked into a sound bath and that lady was the sound bath lady, I would turn around and not go in and spend my leave my money on the table, because I can tell you that that is not who I want in charge of anything. Yeah, that sounded fun. That's I was like, oh, they're doing something that's actually kind of interesting. And the grandpa did not, you know, he was acting like a grandpa is supposed to. Well, I can say I did that, you know, and I don't think the grandpa is particularly charming for some reason.
Right, yeah, I don't get it.
I didn't get it last season. So
I don't like him as much on this date as I did last season, but I think his role on this date was to basically be like a third wheel that's crotchety, and it seemed odd. But
I want my crotcheties to be like my curmudgeons or whatever, to be like Throw Mama from the Train, or to be really mad and hit people with their cane. You know, like I want real mad people. I don't want this happy grandpa. He seems too nice. But yeah. I guess Gabby wouldn't be able to take it if it was too much.
No, I think like, as we can tell from her conversation about her mother, it's kind of like, I think
she needs
soft grandfather for sure. If she had a strict, hard curmudgeon grandfather, they wouldn't be close.
No. Well, the one thing this date showed me, though. So then, you know, is the grandma alive or dead?
Oh, his wife, she's dead.
Okay, good. Because then you're like, I was like, well, you got another grandma?
Yeah. You got to work on your segues there.
Well, honestly, all that stuff did not interest me at all, not even the sound bath, because the most interesting part of this was that Gabby has shown herself like another layer of herself. And to me, she's shown that she's kind of a people pleaser based on all those insecurities.
I do want to point out that a good take by the Rose Pricks podcast this morning I listened to. They said that because this was a triple event date, mm-hmm. so they first went to the sound bath and then they went bowling for some reason and then they went to dinner. Uh-huh. They're probably on their like 15th hour of filming. So she probably was in a really raw state. So for her to break down can be put, if you put it in that context, it's not quite so telling or, you know, so out of the ordinary, like, I guess.
So out of nowhere. It makes right. sense yeah. to me, because if you're super tired, I think it's easier to become really upset about something because you're just like, not another thing. Oh, I was already at my breaking point, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not really, I don't think that's relevant, though, because she's, I don't know. I think this is all they're doing. You know, that I don't even think they were on 15 hours. I could see it being 7, 10.
Well, it's not. I mean, to me, what stood out, and I don't mean to make a big belabored point over nothing, but the bowling kind of seemed out of the ordinary. So like, it could have been a perfectly good one-on-one date if they did the sound bath and then went to dinner. That seems the scope.
So you think they're trying to push her there?
Well, it was just weird. It was just weird that they also then went bowling. You know.
Yeah, it was just
like a triple part date.
Yeah.
And the weird part was, so Grandpa's still at bowling and they set him up with like another lady there. And that's like part of the date. And he's not at dinner. And Eric makes a joke about like, oh, gonna be another table for your grandfather here or whatever. So it's like
that didn't land well.
it didn't and it wouldn't. But it's interesting that they were really pushing. I think the grandfather date this early into the season was also kind of interesting, right? Like, you often save the family stuff for later on.
Right.
So I don't know what they're trying to do with Grandpa at this point. What?
Maybe it does make sense that they're trying to push her, because there is a scene where she goes to the producer and spills her guts out, which we've seen them do before. But then she asks a question, which is even more jarring. She says, like, am I unlovable or something like that? And that is something you ask in a days of no sleep and like crazy time in your head, right? Because you do not ask, even if they're your good friend, that's a weird thing to say. Yeah. So I can see that now.
To get to that level of asking a question like that, I think
you'd be delirious.
You have to be in like a mental
completely
state,
lost it.
Right? Yeah. Of Morty being like, God, I feel so bad. You know, like, I'm having these horrible feelings. And like, you have to be like spiraling kind of around that thought for a while before you would actually say it out loud to somebody.
Yeah. So, but I still think that there is truth there.
Sure.
And the truth to me, and something that's revealed to me about Gabby's character, is that she is always doing a balancing act of being a complete people pleaser. And in this case, like a pleaser of her male, like, you know, the guy she's interested in, with making sure she's not being taken advantage of all the time, weighing also her insecurities about being loved, stemming from her mom, not supposedly, according to her, not loving her, which is a little bit, you know, that is definitely her take. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to negate her reality, but saying things in the same sentence as she did the best she could, but also she didn't love me. I mean, maybe that was the mom's version of love. I would ask, see, and this was my problem here, is that Eric literally didn't do anything. He just didn't talk.
He didn't.
And listened a little bit. And she's like, oh my God, he is great. I love him. Like, you know, so this is what she says about Eric. And I think it's pretty telling with this whole balancing act she does about being a people pleaser and wanting to not make sure that men don't take advantage of her.
I do just want to get on your lap because I feel like I can get closer to you.
Not close enough.
I'm the imperfect bachelorette, but I think in some people's eyes it'll mean perfect. And Eric tonight really, 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 really let me lean into that and understand it and be myself, because I would give anything to be loved by someone like Eric.
Loved by someone like Eric. Which was just enough to say that it is...
Eric's not going to win.
Right. Well, why do people even pick a second best? This is... I've been thinking a lot about this because I hate the fact that we have that the throwaway culture in America is so throwaway, right? You buy shorts just for the house. You buy like, oh, well, this is good enough until I find a better version of this. It's like, just buy the real thing, spend more money, don't think about throwing it away. And this is Eric as a person. Not that he's horrible. He's not. I don't know. Maybe I'm very delirious. So sorry, Eric, if you're listening.
Yeah, no, but I think what struck me in that, it made my heart hurt a little bit to hear her be like, I would do anything to be loved like by a person like him. And I'm like, he's like a regular person. You know what I mean? Like, so it made me feel so like, it was like pulling at my heartstrings a little bit, right? To be like, oh, Gabby is such, she has such a self-image of herself, you know, that she sees like a guy doing like, Eric did not do very much on this date. No. He was very quiet. His self-reassurance kind of stuff wasn't particularly... It was kind of like, oh, yeah, he's just kind of there. He's, like, saying something, but it's not even particularly meaningful sounding to us. So it came across like he did the bare minimum. But Gabby is seeing it as, like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody doing anything for me is, like, more than I deserve, basically.
Yeah, and she rewards him by totally making out with him, which we really haven't seen her do.
Yes. And I was like, oh boy, it makes my heart hurt because like, Gabby, you seem like a nice person who tries really hard. Like you do deserve things.
Oh,
no, I awakened Craig.
Gabby, like Wayne Craig, the deserve love monster.
Yes.
So Gabby deserves love. Oh, this is the first person who's ever deserved love, according to one of us. Caitlin.
Way to go, Caitlin.
Oh my gosh. So you know what? I still don't really have my head around what it means to deserve love or why people do or don't, or even in Craig's. I'm not even living in Craig's world. Like, I don't understand what Craig is exactly saying either. So the fact that you think she does because she's so sad and tries so hard because she tries hard. Is that it?
I think some of it is.
Or did you accidentally get there?
I think I accidentally got there and I didn't entirely mean to say it that way. But what...
Oh, no.
What I was sort of trying to communicate is, you know, that she feels so badly about herself and sort of is downgrading herself in her own mind. Whereas to me, I'm like, the things that I know about her from TV is that, like, she's like an ICU nurse. She's really funny. She's always been kind to other people every time you see her interact with them. I was like, which spells to me, like, she's probably a nice person, right? Like, she probably also tries really hard to be nice and caring to people. And that makes you feel like you should, you know, you should feel like you deserve these things instead of putting yourself down and saying, you know, I can't believe somebody put up with me being so crazy for crying over something that like upset me. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff where it's like, he did the bare minimum. It's nice if you're liking him, but you shouldn't see it as like, what a miracle worker that a man could like me when I was like having a sensitive moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it boils back. Now I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, do people who grow up with, because the bare minimum is that your parents love you. And if your parents don't love you, you seek love elsewhere and it's not a selfish love, because that's kind of what it tends to breed. I know lots of men who don't have love from their parents and then they just become selfish about like acquiring mates and love.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, care. They look for care in places. They want substitute moms, right? They want mistresses and maids and instead of a partner. I am That's actually a Paul McCartney song from his 90s years. And this is how delirious I am. I'm thinking back to my childhood of when I listened to this one Paul McCartney album. So I think there is an interesting conversation here, because some moms, some parents don't mesh with their kids.
Right.
And sometimes... Mm-hmm. There's a trauma power play at work, right? So you're a parent. You've never had love from your parents. And so you think you're going to have a kid and it's going to be great because you're going to make up for all the things your parents did. Mm-hmm. But then that trauma comes out and you do the power play is, you can't hurt me. I'm going to hurt you because I was hurt. Now that's 100% true. Parents can be selfish about how they give love to their kids because they were hurt. Because you never bully your bully. You bully someone else to kind of prove your point. Just to say one more thing about that. You know, I guess we should establish here that some people believe that your children don't belong to you. Your mission is to not make a mini version of you, but to help them become themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a tiny little section here where some parents don't connect or don't understand their kids. And you could just not like your kid and you just don't. And you don't really know how to deal with that. And maybe it's not exactly trauma based. Right. Could that be true? Could she have picked, I'm not trying to blame Gabby, but she's a cheer, you know, she definitely is herself. And what if the mom is like, you should never have become a cheerleader, where, you know, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm kind of, I'd like to know the mom. I really would. I have so many questions, and I believe Gabby is telling us the truth, and I believe she believes what she's saying.
Yeah. I think it's so, her experience is that's how she feels, right? That like her mom doesn't love her, essentially gave up on her. We don't know if that's how what the mom thought she was doing was giving up or whatever else, but I do think there is a lot of like trauma and legacies from your parents and your family around you that the people doing the traumatizing have no idea that that's what they're doing.
Right? Sometimes.
Often I feel like this is not, you know, not every single case, but there are these sort of legacies of being like, yeah, that you weren't exactly the kind of parent that they needed. And that meant that your kid didn't feel love from you, even though you were feeling it towards them. You know what I mean? Like, so that kind of stuff, I feel like, where it's very, I don't know, I've gotten so philosophical about this as I've gotten older and have like a much better relationship with my own mother than I did when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Because if you had asked me when I was like, I don't know, 16, 17, do I think my mother loves me? I probably would have said no, right?
Yeah.
And now that I'm older, I know that like she has always loved me, but the way that she shows and like experiences love towards her child is not always the kind of thing that like I saw it as, you know what I mean? Like, I would see it as being like smothering or over controlling. And it's like, now that I'm older, I'm like, I can see she was trying to do the best she could. And it might not have been what I needed. But later on, we were able to get there because I was then an adult and had a lot more sympathy for her. And she had no control over me anymore. So now we get along really well.
So much so that she's actually been on this podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So so here's Gabby talking about it, just because I want to make sure we reference her actual words.
I'm reserved to share that with people because I've been hurt so many times, like by a parent. Yeah. And I think like that's kind of the hardest love to not ever have received.
Yeah.
Growing up, my mom kind of, we're estranged. I don't have a relationship with her. She like, no, that's okay. She definitely did the best she could. But the second I moved out of the house, she like wiped her hands like clean.
So I here's my So Craig, back to the question of whether maybe her mom is kind of old world. Maybe she's from a different country. I can see that in showing love in a different way than Americans are taught to show love, or American kids are taught that they should feel love by their parents. Uh-huh, I don't know what the mom did. This is kind of why. So the conversation about power plays and trauma, I mean, can be talked about by more experienced people than us. But I think where my conversation lies is this: a question about meshing with your kids. Because I feel like that's where it is for me. Everything she said, everything Gabby said about her mom from last season too, all kind of comes, always ends with me there. Is not necessarily a, for example, not that this is Gabby, but these trauma questions tend to be something like, well, my mom was doing drugs when I was growing up, or my mom, you know, was dating a lot and I wanted her attention, but she was always dating. That's not what I'm hearing from Gabby, though. Right. I'm hearing a culturally lining up problem. Yeah. That's just my, I have no evidence. I'd like to know more.
Easier. Have you seen that that tweet? That's like, it went viral a few times, and now people sometimes, you know, use it kind of as a meme response, where it was some guy being like, how come always people are always bagging on deadbeat dads, but they don't ask if the child just had bad vibes?
Oh, no, I've never seen. I'm so good. I've never seen so many. I feel like there's a meme world out there, like a slice of the world.
I'll send it to you on text later, but it makes me laugh every time I see it, because it's like, well, all the responses were like outrage of people being like, if the child had bad vibes, so you should just leave, you know what I
mean? Yeah, yes, like, there are, sometimes you wonder where this kid, I mean, it seems so cliche to say, like, where'd this kid get it from? But sometimes you're like, well, they're growing up in a different place and culturally different, and, you know, we've talked a lot about this season about kind of like lizard brain before society kicks in, and that's where your brain goes sometimes. And if you're tired or stressed or you're in a new environment, that's where your brain goes. And so you have to give a lot of forgiveness to parents. But I don't know what's happening. We're only getting her side of the story, and I'm not someone who always needs both sides, because sometimes we can say, doesn't matter what the other side is, that's it. That's how she chooses to feel. But I'm not sure in this case.
And I think, like, for our purposes of watching kind of her journey on this show, we don't necessarily need to know what her mom exactly did or said or how she feels about it, because we know how Gabby feels about it. But I do think that, yeah, there are lots of possibilities for ways in which a parent could have thought they were doing the right thing, but it wasn't the right thing for that child or something like that, right?
Well, to say that she washed her hands of me, or that she, you know, once I was gone, she was done with me and she didn't love me. That's where I think Gabby, that's where I want the mom's version. The mom could be a drug, you know, the thing I think isn't true could be true. She could be a drug addict and she said, F you. You know, peace out, goodbye. I'm going to go back to my ways. It could be, but I don't think so. So anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Craig, I want to skip to the best rose ceremony I've ever seen.
Okay. So we're going to end on the rose ceremony?
Wait, so you mean we're going to skip Franco LaCosta?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
No, we don't even spend that much time on him, but I do have in my notes, Franco LaCosta is back in all caps, because every time Franco returns, it's a big event.
Yeah, and we've established that he is not an actual photographer. He's playing a photographer.
Right? Those weren't very good photographs.
Well, it's hard to even tell like what the photographs would be, because they don't show us the photos anyway, right? They just show us them basically taking them, and it's like a screenshot of the video camera that's on.
That's true.
So we have maybe the photos are beautiful art and we'll never see it.
There's no photographs. I bet you that thing is empty. I'm sure it's a prop camera so you can hold it all day. It's just like it weighs like a paper clip. Wait, you know.
But yes, I did want to mention briefly, Franco LaCosta did make an appearance again for a photography date where it was kind of a bride photo shoot, but then also there were all these other things, like Meatball was wearing a diaper and Avon gave birth to him. Like, there was a lot of weird stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they go to SoFi Stadium after that for another odd twist and turn in a date. And I know we had it in our head that we were going to do a whole thing on predatory lending, but we've made a lot of good points this podcast episode. And I don't know if I have it in me to go into SoFi.
No, I don't either. And I think my only comment, and I had a too long of a conversation last night with Mark about it, because I was saying that it used to be that we used to know the companies that, okay, so I'm not going to go into predatory lending, mortgage loan, anything like that, student loans. We used to be the companies that would buy stadiums we would know the name of beforehand. And now companies are buying the stadium so that you know the name of them and for their own advertising. I mean, it was always for advertising. But my question was, or my question to him was,
interesting point.
Yeah, is this an image wash before so that you don't have a bad, you know, so that you don't have a bad image, a bad thinking of them before they do the horrible things they're going to do? And immediately, you know, my head went to when companies change names like Blackwater, or even like to a lesser extent, like Clear Channel changed its name to iHeart Media, iHeart Radio.
Right.
That, in my...
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that's what it had turned into.
See? There you go, Caitlin. It's all in my face. But no, we shouldn't. I just want to make sure we get that out there. It is an interesting topic in terms of, I had never heard of SoFi. And now I'm seeing commercials, and I don't think I'm seeing them because I've heard of SoFi now. I think they exist now because of the stadium. Well, you might need to refinance
sometime soon, so SoFi would be a good option.
I think SoFi bought a lot of – I think there's a student loan angle here.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think you make a good point.
And isn't Crypto.com Arena in LA as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, to that point, so it used to be that it was – companies that had been around for a long time and had a lot of money to burn would buy stadium naming rights. Now it's part of the initial VC funding to expenditure a huge amount on stadium funding, stadium naming rights. So like Crypto.com Arena, which is formerly Staples Center, Crypto.com has been around since what? Since crypto? It's like, I don't know. I'm sure
it's
who knows how long it's been. Yeah. But it's part of their... It's part of their VC rounds of funding because they're not making money. They're burning money, which because they have all these commercials featuring all these like Matt Damon. Yeah. And so they bought the naming rights and they're going to do a whole round of refurbishments on the arena. So it's, I mean, I think your point's valid that it's just, it's shifted to a more progressive approach to naming or spending your money on naming rights.
Right, progressive in terms of cleaning your name before you get to create a horrible, more horrible thing than your, you know,
I mean, okay. Everyone calls it SoFi, so that's the point to be made there.
That's the point.
Yeah. Okay.
Small tangent. Do you know about the Seattle NHL team's arena name?
Well, they're the Kraken.
They're the Kraken, and they play in the Climate Pledge Arena.
Wait. The like animal.
Yes, like the.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not like
fake sea monster.
Yeah, this fake sea monster. Right. Yes, that's right. Yes. That's the name of the. It's a new team, as you might be able to tell.
They not play in the Climate Pledge.
A joke from 15 years ago.
Yes.
Oh my god.
The name of their arena.
Pledge isn't that Paul Allen's thing, or am I completely making that up?
No, it's like a Jeff Bezos thing. He chose the name. I guess he must have given a lot of money to it. He chose the name for the arena in order to call for action on climate change. So he's trying to do some like image washing himself.
Exactly. Yeah, totally that's a perfect example right there. So, good. Good. We made the points.
Okay.
So on to the rose ceremony.
It's very important that we lay down these ground rules that were made up on the spot. Ready?
All right, I just want to clarify here, because obviously this is all new. You declined Rachel's rose?
Yes. All right,
because you're holding out for Gabby. Mm-hmm. All right, I think what we need to do is put Tremaine back in line and then find out if Gabby's going to offer you a rose.
Okay.
Now, Rachel, I'm so sorry, but because Tremaine rejected your rose, you can no longer offer that rose tonight.
Which makes no sense.
Now, Tremaine, you've made your intentions very clear. You wish to pursue Gabby. But Tremaine, if you do not receive a rose, you will be leaving us tonight. Thank you all.
Got it?
But for some reason, the thank you all at the end is what really did it to me. Yeah. You will be leaving at the end of the night. Thank you all.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, these rules are interesting.
Speaking of crypto, Tremaine.
That's right, he's the crypto guy. Yeah, these rules are interesting, right? So they decide they're separating. So Rachel has roses, Gabby has roses. If you accept a rose from one of these women, you are agreeing to only date that woman, not right?
Yeah. Right. And this is a one-time, this is a one-off rose ceremony, because from now on, they will have their rose ceremonies, like, they're not going to mix them in anymore.
I guess it's hard. I mean, who knows what they're ever going to do in the future.
Which, you know, what would be smart, though, is that all these men that are becoming friends, you're breaking up the cliques. You know, mm-hmm. you do it so that there's no Hannah Brown mutiny, which is what I'm going to call it from now on.
Okay. You know, I think what would also be smart is if they added in some new men at some point, because, again, ooh, these pools are real
shallow. Mix it all up.
Mix it all up, get some new guys in there, and then they draft them, maybe.
Men have an amazing ability to make friends immediately. I hate that. They have like a kindergarten. Kindergarten, you know, I just saw you on the playground. You're my new friend. They're so good at it.
Oh my God.
But I can't trust them.
Yeah, so I feel like new men would be interesting because, first of all, you could do something crazy with that. Have it be like, we've brought in 10 new men. You're going to each get 5 of them. Well, let's have a cocktail party with just you two and them 5. And at the end, you do a draft. Like, you get number 1, you get number 2. You pick who you want, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See how it goes. Could be great. The rose taking back thing after Rachel offers a rose to Tremaine, because he's the first one that this happens with. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now that rose is gone forever. At first, I thought it was ridiculous. But when they got down to the very end of, like, giving their last roses, I was like, I actually kind of get it now, because if she had had, like, 3 more roses right there, the men who are left were basically the men who had already rejected her rose and 2 other guys. So she would have had a spare extra rose regardless.
Yeah, there was a mathematician within the producer clique that somehow figured that out.
I think there was somebody who was like, that's why he came back out being like, just to clarify, if this happens, it means we're taking, because I think that's exactly what they didn't want to happen, was an even weirder, unexpected moment where it's like, does she take them all now? Does she take, like, even if she didn't want to take Jacob, she's just taking them because he hasn't rejected her, or?
Right, dodgeball rules.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point, Caitlin.
Not a great way for them to have taught us that, though. I mean, the good news, it's a one-time rose ceremony, but it was, it looked, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they could have figured the math out before this kind of thing occurred, when they knew that they were going to get at least one no in the way they'd set it up.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's, other than the rose ceremony and the rules and all that stuff, Rachel took Gabby aside and talk to her. Now, my big takeaway there is kind of, again, back to the overarching 2 themes of this episode. And honestly, of our season of this podcast, that Rachel is much less mature in a lot of ways than Gabby, even though in all those other ways, she is mature. She has her career together. She whispers and is sexy, you know? But Gabby doesn't. She's jokey and she's fun, but she's so much more aware. She must have had a lot of therapy. But Rachel takes Gabby aside
It's like, this is so much worse than what you went through.
Yeah, it is not so much worse. That's exactly what it's just all about, her and her embarrassed and her being embarrassed.
Yeah, people on Twitter picked up on that. They were saying, like, way to erase Gabby's experiences by saying that because yours are quote unquote public, they're somehow way more embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, Gabby's were totally public. I don't know what they're saying. They're on TV.
Also going to be on TV. Yeah. For her, the last straw that I think made Rachel go like real hard on this is when Meatball, of all people, you know, was like, I can't accept your rose. And it's like, come on, I can't even get Meatball now, you know? And so I think that made her be like, I'm so embarrassed. I can't handle this.
Here's her speaking to Gabby.
I just feel so bad and so rejected. Like,
this is how I felt last night.
But it was like private. This was so embarrassing in public.
This was supposed to be us taking the power back. We literally handed it right back to all of them by doing this.
Hey.
I can't. Like, now I look stupid to everyone who has my rose.
To hear three people, one after another, stop me and say, I can't accept this rose. It was so humiliating. It was the hardest moment I've had as the Bachelorette, truly.
Well, all the drama that, you know, is a guy going to like one more than the other is now over, because now they are in two separate camps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know it's not over.
Oh, is it not? Don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
Don't worry about it. There's going to be drama, you see.
Oh, good. Well, actually, I'm glad to hear that, actually. So tell me at least that it's going to happen, because I was kind of like, well, that's no fun.
It certainly looks as though something along those lines is going to happen. And even funnier to me, the after credit scene is Meatball coming back. You did see it?
Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't even know what I was thinking. I don't want to leave the show yet.
Anyway, he begs Rachel to let him back in. And then they cut it off before she says yes or no. So maybe Meatball's coming back.
He's totally coming back.
See, I don't watch the after credit sequence, so I miss that.
Oh, I always watch that one. But yeah,
I watched the
probably going to be on
previews,
next episode.
But...
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree that he's coming back. But that's good to hear. I still kind of stick to my original, to my night one, podcast one prediction that men will have more enthusiasm, have more like for Gabby in an 80-20 split. Like, but you only need one man to like you. A la Becca Kufrin season, right? It doesn't matter. And honestly, a lot of people's seasons, a lot of Bachelorette seasons. It doesn't matter that 25 guys don't like you. Right. If two guys like you, that's drama. So it doesn't really matter. But I think that if it was just Rachel, it would not be a good season. That's where I land.
All right.
Okay.
Well, it looks like we're skipping fashion for the night. Is that okay with you, Caitlin?
Yeah, I didn't have
Craig
anything
is
written
crash
down.
And burn.
I know.
Yeah, I had nothing written down about clothes that anyone was wearing or anything like that. So nothing great occurred on those fronts to my mind.
All right. Sorry, well, Frank, that was despite two fashion oriented people on the show tonight.
Oh yeah.
Or last night, I should say. All right. Well, good podcast. I think we made some fine points. Maybe we'll get some feedback from some of our listeners on that. And you can follow us at Bachelor Masters on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And you can leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.